Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Technology Uncorked. My name is Jeff Quattromani, and this show is brought to you by Navman. Now, ladies and gentlemen, ho-ho-ho season is right around the corner. If you have not gotten your Christmas shopping done yet, well, you're probably at a really right time to be doing your Christmas shopping. Do not leave it too late. Trust me on this. You don't want to be that guy running around on Christmas Eve trying to find that last item on the shelf, if that. Now, I've been scouring the Navman website, and I'm telling you, there's a bunch of different great Christmas gift ideas on that website. You can actually probably get a number of your Christmas gift shopping done just through navman.com.au. But one of the things I'm really going to highlight today is for motorbike riders or motorcycle riders. We've recently tested the MyView M760D. It was on 7news.com.au. I recommend you go and read that review. It's a real test of a motorcycle dash cam. Now, you won't find many of these out there. There's not really many competitors out there either. But if you know someone who's strapping a GoPro or an action camera to their helmet, it's a very dangerous act, and it actually doesn't capture footage very well, nor does it do it automatically, nor does it have a rear camera as well. So make sure you go and look at that review. Have a look on the Navman website, the MyView M760D. It's a dash cam, a front and rear dash cam for motorcycles. We tested it. We strapped it to a Ducati or a Ducati, and the footage is quite exceptional. We've got sample footage on the review, as well as the experience in terms of the DIY install or getting somebody professional to do it for you. But it's a very smart and very well integrated dash cam for motorbikes, because trust me, they're some of the people that need dash cams more than anybody else on the road. So do go to the Navman website, get your Christmas shopping done. Don't be that guy on Christmas Eve, and make sure you have an amazing and safe Christmas and safe holidays. And you can always get a lot of things such as navigation and dash cams from Navman.
Rasembras ma Jeff Quattromani, multi-Australian in Sydney.
Tech expert Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani, thank you very much from Sydney.
Jeff Quattromani is here.
And now it's time to talk technology with Jeff Quattromani.
Jeff Quattromani.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
What the heck? Let's talk tech.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, if it is the first time you're listening to this show, we do technology news reviews, and we do it usually over a glass of wine, and today is no exception. Today I've actually got a bottle that was sent to me from Millon, M-I-L-L-O-N, Millon Wines. They're an Australian company. It seems like most of their wines are coming from the Eden Valley in South Australia, and this particular one that I've opened tonight is a Barossa Shiraz. And that's kind of pulling at my heartstrings. I do love a good Barossa Red, and that's usually going to be a Shiraz. However, most of the grapes actually have come from the Eden Valley quite specifically. So Barossa is a region rather than the Barossa Valley, coming from Eden Valley within the Barossa area. And this is a lovely example. It's actually really quite surprising to me. Super deep, very inky red, nice and smooth, no harsh tannins, nothing like that. A very smooth and simple, easy wine to drink. I'm obviously not having it with food at the moment, and I'm absolutely loving it. Lovely, lovely forest fruits, really nice Shiraz. And do you want to know the best bit? This is kind of crazy. And people will probably say, oh, come on, Jeff, it can't be that good if it's only costing that much. Well, $18 for a bottle of this 2020, the Impressionist Shiraz, to be very specific, from a vineyard called Millon. And it looks like I might need to buy me a few more of these, because at that price, that seems like a steal, and I know they would only get better over time. Now, today on the show, we're going to talk about a number of things. I'm going to tell you what happens in a 2021 internet minute. So what happens online in 1 minute on the internet in 2021. The data has been crunched, and I will blow your mind with some facts and figures in that space. I've been wearing two wearables, one on each wrist, the Fitbit Charge 5 and the new Whoop 4. I'm going to talk to you about those. Very similar in some ways, very different in others. We'll explain the differences in which one you probably should buy and which one would be best for you. We'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about games. I've been playing a bit of games lately, and I don't have a lot of time for games, but I can tell you the kind of games that I've been gravitated to lately and what they have done in my life. And I'll explain some interesting things that have been happening from a gaming perspective there. And then I think that's it, actually. And then that's it. And then I can send you home. Looking at my list, that's all I got. So we're going to get through all of those things. We're going to talk about the internet minute, compare two wearables. I thought I had one more thing. Oh, we do. We do have one more thing. We're going to talk about a smart helmet. That is going to be actually probably the most exciting part of the show. So stay tuned for all of this: smart helmets, two wearables, gaming, and what happens in an internet minute. Let's go. Now, for a number of years, I worked in a data and analytics space. And as a result, I love data. I love to analyze data. It's a weird thing that if someone sends me a spreadsheet with a million rows, I'm not saying seriously a million rows, but a lot of rows of data, nothing more interesting than pulling out trends and figures from that. But I haven't done the crunching on this one. I'm just going to share with you some amazing statistics that have come out this year. Now, we are talking about 1 minute, so 60 seconds in the world of the internet in 2021. So this is very specifically about this year because it changes obviously every year. The internet is evolving rapidly. And to give you an example of that, in terms of the population of the internet, because not everybody is actually online. In fact, in July 2021, which is when I think they've started to crunch these numbers, only 65% of the entire population is online or has access to the internet. Only 65% of people have access to the internet. No wonder this podcast isn't reaching everybody on the planet because some people literally don't even have the internet. So if you're listening to this, you're one of the lucky, fortunate majority. Let me say that. Lucky, fortunate majority. Now, in terms of population growth on the internet, in 2016, it was 3.4 billion people had access to the internet. In 2021, it's almost doubled at 5.2 billion people. That's interesting to me that we are joining more people to the internet at quite a rapid rate, if you think of it in that way, that in a period of what doesn't feel like that long, 2016 to 2021, we've almost doubled the amount of people that can access the internet. So if my podcast continues, I may almost double my audience in another 6 years. Let's try and do better than that, folks. Now, let's talk about what happens in a minute. I won't explain it all in a minute. We'll try and get it done as quick as we can, though. But let's just start with Google. How many Google searches do you think happen in a minute? 5.7 million Google searches happen in 1 minute across the world. iMessages. Anyone send an iMessage before? Have an iPhone? 12 million people send an iMessage per minute on the internet. Snapchat. Anyone here a bit of a Snapchat user? Snapchat users send 2 million Snapchats per minute. Amazon, been doing some shopping. Customers spend $283,000 per minute on the internet. 6 million people shop online per minute. Anyone use Strava to do fitness tracking? Athletes share, I mean, as in Strava users, I'm a Strava user, I'm not an athlete, but we share 1,500 activities per minute. Let's talk about Slack. Anyone in the workplace using Slack to talk to one another? 148,000 messages are sent on Slack per minute. Zoom, we all know a little bit more about Zoom these days. 856 minutes of hosted meetings happen in Zoom per minute. And if you're a Teams person instead of a Zoom's person, 100,000 users connect to Teams meetings per minute. Netflix, you use a bit of Netflix? Yeah, it seems like we all do. 452,000 hours. This is interesting. I don't know how they work this one out. Netflix, it says Netflix users stream 452,000 hours in a minute. I actually think that's a bit confusing because how do you do that? I guess maybe as a total, if you take that 1 minute of time and multiply that into hours, then I guess that's how they're figuring this number out, 452,000 hours per minute. It's because you've probably then got 452,000 times 60 would to get that hour figure. So it's probably going to actually, they probably could have produced a better number here. And if they broke this down into minutes, and it would have been maybe a million three minutes. Very confusing. YouTube users stream actually more content than Netflix per minute. So they've got 694,000 hours. Again, using a very weird equation to pull that number out to make it a little bit more confusing, but it's actually more than Netflix. And maybe that at some point will actually tip over the other way. Facebook is interesting here. Facebook users share 240,000 photos per minute on Facebook in 2021. And I'd love to actually see if I can go back and look at that number maybe 2 or 3 years ago, or even before Instagram was particularly popular, and see how that number has actually changed. Because I wouldn't be surprised if that number has actually decreased. Because the next figure is that Instagram users share 65,000 photos per minute. And I would assume that prior to Instagram, those images perhaps were most likely shared on Facebook, and that would be potentially where that growth could have been disappearing or moving. Twitter users post 575,000 tweets, and I promise you that they're all garbage. It's that simple. And TikTok users watch 167 million videos in a minute. 167 million videos. And when you think about all of these numbers, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about all of the infrastructure that is supporting all of this. If you think about TikTok, you know, TikTok, whatever their, TikTok.com, whatever it is, their app, the servers behind it that are pushing out that much content per minute, the power that's required to operate that, the bandwidth that's required to operate that. It's absolutely mind-blowing numbers. And I know I ran through that very quickly. You can always go back and listen to them again. That is a staggering amount of data that is flying across our internet every minute of every day in 2021. It's staggering. As a total amount of data, consumers globally of the internet used 79 zettabytes of data. That's incredible. And they say that by 2025, we'll be actually going more than double that, 180 zettabytes. And that's a lot of zettas. It's a lot of them. So anyway, that has been the Internet Minute. After this, let's just do it now. Let's talk about some smart helmets. I don't need another sip. Let's talk about smart helmets. A company called Livall, L-I-V-A-L-L, Livall, I guess it's actually been a combination of two words of living and everybody. So everyone lives, and that's why it's a helmet company. And what they've done is they've created smart helmets. Now, you know, gosh, back in my day, I wore a stack hat, and a stack hat looked like a big bucket. And that's what you wore because pretty much if you fell over, the helmet was going to be just fine. It was huge and extremely strong, but now it's not enough to just have a normal helmet. It needs to be smart. So what can a smart helmet do? Well, this smart helmet comes with an app because why wouldn't it? So meaning there's Bluetooth built in, there's battery built in. There's also light. There's a headlight at the front so you can actually see better at nighttime. There is a rear visibility light as well, which is 270 degrees. So it really wraps around the helmet quite significantly. But there's also a brake light as well, which I find fascinating that it's actually able to use inertia to turn on a brake light at the back or to amplify the existing one. Even more so the people potentially behind you know that you're slowing down because, hey, with a push bike or a scooter, whatever it is, you don't have brake lights. You don't really know if somebody is slowing down in those situations. So this smart helmet makes a bit of sense in that way, but that's not enough, right? No, it's not. So if we talk about the lighting, it's now got fall detection built in as well. So if you stack it on your scooter, on your push bike, whatever it is, the Livall, which is Bluetooth paired to your phone, could then actually make an emergency call for you. And it could do that to contacts or it could do that straight to emergency services. Who knows what kind of incident you've had. There's also a button on the helmet itself to press for SOS. So if, for example, something's happened, maybe fall detection didn't kick in or something else is happening where you need help, you can actually push a button on your helmet and it will trigger that SOS call from your smartphone. Obviously, that's going to be with you at the time. If you like to listen to music while you are riding your scooter or your bike, you don't need to put headphones inside your ears. The helmet can now do it for you. It's got speakers built in, stereo speakers, they say, and you'll be able to stream your music through your helmet. You'll also be able to take calls because, hey, why wouldn't you? There's a microphone built in. You can actually take calls on this now. It's got a one-click answer. I don't know where the button is for the one-click answer. If it's actually somewhere on the helmet, it would look weird or potentially actually quite frustrating that you have to take your hands off the handlebars to tap your helmet and answer that call. It's also got walkie-talkie function built in. Again, not sure how that does work because you would need to press or trigger a button to open communication when you're talking. And that kind of, to me, just makes it a bit more dangerous than it needs to be. They're saying it's got a one-click voice command. Look, let's be honest here. We're talking about a company that's probably not from the Western world. And one-click voice command doesn't make any sense to me. It's either I'm either controlling it through voice or I'm clicking. Which one is it here? So I don't know what that quite means. Maybe it does mean that you can use your voice to control the music that you're listening to or something on your smartphone. I'm not quite sure. We'll probably need to get one of these to test, I think. I mentioned the brake warning lights. It's got an anti-loss alarm, which I assume is that when it's turned off, if it's picked up and it's out of range of your smartphone, I think that could actually trigger an alarm, which would be interesting to, again, try and experience. And it automatically turns itself off when you stop riding. So if you do stop for a period of time, the helmet will actually turn itself off to save battery and whatnot. It comes a different range of styles, but the different styles also have different functions. And that's what I've read out is the Primo version. That's the one which has all the bells and whistles. So if you want all of those things, that's the one to go for. And that's the top of the range. But then there is some which just have, you know, smart lighting and fall detection. So if all you really care about is a bit more of a safer ride where you can be seen at nighttime, you can see better at nighttime because it's got the headlight on the front. And if you stack it, that you've got some help on the way. If that's all you need, then you can actually spend a lot less money. Now let's talk about the money side. I'm surprised at the pricing. And a normal helmet, just a normal helmet, is usually closer to $100 regardless. It doesn't matter what kind of helmet you're after. Helmets aren't that cheap, and probably rightfully so. It is protecting a pretty important part of your body, being your brain. But here we have this range starting from $99, topping out literally at all the bells and whistles that I mentioned at $279. So it's a lot less than I expected it to be. The company's called Livall. Three of their models are being sold through Bing Li. Otherwise, I think you can just go to the PanMi website, PanMi, and you'll be able to buy any of the models there. But jump into a Bing Li store, pick one up, have a look at them. Given that it's got all this tech built in, expect it to be a little bit weighty. They're saying it's around the 400 gram mark. That, to me, doesn't sound heavy, but it's not really until you pick one up and put it on your head that you really understand what the weight feels like when it's resting on your neck muscles or your spine, whatever you want to call it. So do have a look at it. I think it's fascinating. I will probably try and get one to review. I do like to ride my e-scooter. I do sometimes wear a helmet. I sometimes don't. But I do mountain bike ride at times as well. And when I do that, I definitely do wear a helmet. I've stacked it before and I'm glad I had a helmet when that happened. And not that a smart helmet would have really helped me in those situations, but perhaps if I was doing more night riding, it would be interesting. I'll be curious to check out the speakers in them as well, because I love the idea of listening to music when it's not actually stuck into your ears. I think there's some benefit there. Anyway, let me know what you guys think. That is the smart helmets from Livall. Now I'm going to have a sippy sip, and then we're going to talk about the new Fitbit Charge 5 and the Whoop 4. What's the right one for you? We'll talk about that right after this. Now, there's a number of people out there who will say that they don't want a smartwatch because they don't like the look of them. Maybe it's just a big black rectangle, or some of them are round, obviously, but not everyone wants a smartwatch. Some people just want to wear maybe a traditional watch, or they don't want to wear a watch at all, but they do want this level of fitness tracking. They want this activity tracking going on that you do find in the traditional products that we all used to wear. I remember in the days we used to wear a Jawbone or a very basic Fitbit. I mean, look, the original Fitbits, I remember clipping onto my belt every day. You'd wake up, you put it on your belt and you'd look at it and you'd glance down, you'd see how many steps you did per day. And it was a little sign of, a little badge of honor you'd carry on your hips. But now they've changed quite a bit. They do a lot more than just track your steps. In fact, step tracking should be one of the least things that you do probably pay attention to when you're wearing an activity tracker. But I think there is a strong appeal for people to just wear slim, very unobvious, if that's a right word, activity trackers on their wrist that just stay out of the way and just do their job and pay attention to your entire day without being too obvious. The Fitbit Charge 5 is one that I was excited to look at because I had used the Charge 4. I enjoyed using the Charge 4. And, you know, when I saw the ad for the 5, an all-color display that was coming to it and things like that, I thought this is an interesting proposition. So it's a very thin wearable. I'm talking about something that just looks like a wristband. It has got a screen on the front still. It's a more portrait-style screen, very, very vertically focused. And even if you're doing a clock, it's usually stacked, you know, like 12 and then 58 beneath it. But it's now got all the features and more that you find in the Fitbit Sense. The Fitbit Sense is their more advanced smartwatch type fitness gadget, and it's actually very similarly priced to the Fitbit Sense. The Fitbit Sense has dropped in price dramatically recently. And the Fitbit Charge has only recently come out. It's actually getting quite close to price. So it comes down to style. And it's interesting that you've got so much built into the Fitbit Charge 5 now. It comes in three different colors, like a whitish gray, a black, and a light blue. But now you've got literally all the bells and whistles in the Fitbit Charge 5. You've got the ECG function. So you can do an ECG through this without a problem. I test it. It works very quickly, and it does a pretty good job. Does it actually work? Well, it says I was okay. I mean, I don't have a real ECG machine to compare it with, but so far I seem to still be kicking along. It also does high and low heart rate notifications. So if your heart is racing a little prematurely, you're not actually doing an activity and you've got a spike in heart rate, you'll get a notification about that. And same thing if your heart rate drops suddenly for whatever reason, you get notified about that too. It's got built-in GPS, so if you are going for a run, you can do it just by taking just the Fitbit with you. You don't have to actually take your smartphone to track your exercise. It tracks SpO2, HRV, skin temperature. It literally has all the sensors built in that we see from more advanced, larger smartwatches. So this has so much going on the inside. There's a lot more else to it, though. It's got an EDA sensor, and EDA effectively allows you to take a moment. You actually hold onto the Fitbit, and it tries to detect skin's sweat level, and it tries to, measure your response to stress. So it actually helps you define whether you are stressed, and you obviously tell it at the start how you are feeling, and it tries to sort of put some sort of data together to identify those moments where you are stressed out and potentially help you go through some stress management. And actually you can go through literally moments where it talks you through breathing exercises to try and get your heart rate down or to calm you down and make you feel better about your day. It does measure your sleep just like you'd expect. And honestly, the Fitbit ecosystem is one of the best. The app that backs up the Fitbit is sensational, has been for a very, very long time. They've now also been acquired by Google, which means that you know at some point there's going to be a lot more googliness coming to this in terms of how it's going to integrate with Google, Google Fit, and so much more in that space too. So that's an interesting play that's coming. Not there yet, but you can see it's coming. And the reason I say that is because when you take the Fitbit Charge 5 out of the box, Android smartphones automatically detect it. Immediately, as soon as I did that, bang, notification pops up on the screen and it was there. So that's a nice integration. It's the type of integration you normally see when you take a pair of AirPods out of a packet and your iPhone goes, hey, AirPods around. Same thing happens now with the Fitbits. It's called Google Fast Pair and it allows you to do that straight away. The other thing as well, it's got Fitbit Pay built into the device. So if you want to put your credit card onto the Fitbit, again, you just take your Fitbit for a run and that's what you could now use to pay for things. Again, these are things that normally exist in smartwatches. So some really nice stuff happening. It's got your silent alarms to vibrate. You still get all your notifications. So like when a phone call comes through, an email, whatever it is, I can still get notifications, visual notifications on my wrist with a vibrate so I can, you know, pay attention to it or glance at it, whatever I like to do. I actually turn most of those notifications off. Personal thing. I don't love notifications on my wrist, but you can choose what you like. You can actually customize what kind of notifications you do get. It's a nice Fitbit, and I'm honestly loving it. Compatible with iPhones, compatible with Android devices, and it's gorgeous. About 5 to 7 days of battery life. I actually have it charging in front of me right now, funnily enough. But yeah, it does all those things and so much more. There's apps available that you can get, but given it's got a small screen, you probably won't use too many other functions on there. I honestly normally just wear these devices and only then go to the app to do anything with them. It's very rare that I actually do a lot on the devices themselves. And that's why the Whoop is also being talked about today. The Whoop is a wristband. It's just a wristband. It looks like a piece of fabric wrapped around your wrist. There is no buttons. There is no screen. It's just a wristband. That's all it is. There is a gadget built into that. And the Whoop 4 has some improvements over the Whoop 3. I used to wear the Whoop 3. Again, something I would just put on every day. The Whoop 4 is a smaller version than the 3, not that that matters to you if you've never had the 3. A number of sensors built in, just like the Charge 5. And what the Whoop really focuses on is not notifications, because it can't do that. It doesn't help you manage your day from a smartwatch perspective. It doesn't do anything remotely like that. You can't pay for anything with it. You get no vibrations from it when your phone rings or anything like that. What it does pay all its attention to is your health. And this is probably one that is more focused on fitness. That if you're somebody who exercises more, you're somebody who is so keen to make sure that you're in the best condition you could be, then the Whoop is the one for you. And the reason I say that is because, you know, it literally tries to measure your oxygen levels. It tries to measure skin temperature 24/7. It's a full-on health monitor, which is paying attention to your entire body every second of the day. And it does that with incredible precision, but it does that also that it can come back to you through the app and focus on how much output you're doing throughout the day, as in how much energy you're burning, how much stress you're under, what kind of day you've had. And then it looks at how much you're sleeping, how well you've slept, what kind of sleep you had, how much deep sleep, what your heart rate was during sleep, how much recovery you've had as a result. And then in the morning, you can get a score that will actually indicate to you whether you should take it easy today, or whether you actually have got a bit of fuel left in the tank, or you've had a lot of rest and you should be going strong. And for those who train, the Whoop is the kind of device that they can look on and say, you know what, I'm going to go to the gym this morning and I'm going to go hammer and tongs. Or you'll wake up in the morning and even if you might feel like you should, it'll say, you know what, maybe not. Maybe go for a light walk. Don't go too hard today because you're going to burn out. It's a really, really smart device. It's got full sleep coaching built in. You can actually now in the Whoop 4 get silent alarm. So it does have a haptic feedback or vibration, which it's never had before. So now you can actually get it to wake you up, you know, and that's either, and with both of them, they can wake you up on the minute, say 6:30 in the morning on the minute, or they can, both of them could wake you up within range of that based on your sleeping cycle. So they can actually bring you out of sleep maybe 15 minutes earlier if it thinks you'll wake up more refreshed than if you go back into a sleeping cycle and then get jolted out of bed at 6:30. So both of them now have that, which is interesting to me that the Whoop 4 now has vibration alerts, but it's only able to be used for waking you up in the morning. It can't be used for phone call notifications or anything like that. And that's, again, probably to step into the battery life side. And again, we're looking at about 7 days battery life on the Whoop. Now with Whoop, it's interesting. They've added in the ability to take the little gadget piece off the wristband, and you can now buy clothing from Whoop that has little sockets where you could put the little Whoop gadget into. And that means if you're a female and you're buying and you're wearing like a training, I don't even know how to say this, like a bra for women who train. Is it called a training bra? I don't think that's the right word. People who go to the gym and they wear more athletic style bras or tops. Gosh, I'm such a bloke with this stuff. But you know what I mean? And they now have slots for the gadget. Same thing with running shorts. You can now get them from Whoop that you can put the gadget into. That means your wrists are free. They're completely free. I mean, gosh, it's not a problem wearing it, but it still is able to track all your vitals and things like that in clothing now. So if you want to do that, you can now do that as well, which is cool, I guess. But the way that they do pricing for this is very different. With Whoop, you can simply go on their website, become a member, and as you start paying your monthly fee, you actually get the Whoop included. You can go and you can buy the Whoop, and it comes with, say, 12 months of membership, and you'll pay a fee up front. So it's a very interesting way of going about it. I'm going through the process right now because I want to make sure I give you the correct price. So here we go. It actually can be more expensive depending on how long you plan on using this for. So say, for example, 12 months. You want to get 12-month membership with Whoop, which is just like having Fitbit Premium, which you normally have to pay for as well. But say 12-month membership of the advanced Whoop app with the Whoop 4 is $384 for 12 months. You can go for 6 months and pay $264, and then you can choose to continue your membership if you really enjoy it. And if so, fine. If not, you just put your Whoop in the drawer or whatever, and away you go. So very interesting propositions from both of them. I do think there's different people for different fitness bands there or activity trackers. You just got to pick the one for you. Go online, have a look at them both, then make your decision. If there is a third option that you're considering, let me know. I would love to tell you about it if I've already tested it as well. You can message me. You know that, right? You can send me a text at any point, 0467-439-078. Send me a text. Tell me what else you're thinking about, what else you're considering, and we'll do that. I recently helped a guy named George, fan of the show, lovely fellow. He reached out to me on Instagram, and we've been talking and helped him acquire a Withings ScanWatch, a really good purchase, especially with Black Friday sales. You can always reach out to me, ask me questions, and I'm more than happy to help you, as I'm sure George would be nodding at the moment saying, yeah, I guess he did. He did respond to me, and I'm hoping you're enjoying your Withings. Now, we're going to talk about games because I've been playing some, and it's really made some interesting roads for me, and who would have thought games can have such an impact? We'll talk about that in a second. I'll try not to spend too much time on this because, I mean, I don't know how many people listening to this show are into games, but through the pandemic, there's a lot of doom and gloom going on. Anybody who's been watching 11 a.m. GLaDOS updates back in the day, or even just turning on the news at any point over the last 2 years, it can get pretty depressing. And for me, it's been nice, especially when we're in lockdowns, to take a moment and put your mind into a game. And I'm talking about Xbox games or PlayStation games and things like that. Because when you do that, you can kind of zone in on that game. You kind of can forget about the rest of the world for a minute. And it's just you playing with something, doing something else that takes your mind off everything else that's going on in the world, which is a really nice thing at times. I'm usually, in the past, love, you know, Call of Duty and things like that. I used to really enjoy shoot 'em up style games or online gaming with say Forza Motorsport and things like that. I always pushed into those areas. But recently, and especially through the pandemic, I made a complete 180 into different style games, and they were usually around simulators. And one of them being Farm Simulator. Farm Simulator is a game that I never looked at in the past. And I don't know if it's an age thing or what's going on, but I started playing Farm Simulator. I think when I was younger, I used to enjoy playing SimCity. I think it was called SimCity 2000. And it was a PC game and I loved it. You could build a city, you could build schools, parks, whatever you liked. You can then have little natural disasters that happen and whatever else. Maybe it came from that. So Farm Simulator is a game that I started getting into and just fell in love with it. Just started really enjoying how relaxing gameplay could be. Where, yes, I was gaming, but I was really relaxing at the same time. You know, I had country music playing. I was walking around and I was feeding my sheep. I was attending to my farm, whether it was growing crops and harvesting. I mean, gosh, harvesting season was the most exciting part ever. Driving your harvester, dumping it into a trailer. And also, the amount of appreciation you got for the agricultural industry at the time was phenomenal because you're realizing just how much work is involved before you make a dollar. And if you're listening to this show and you're in the agricultural sector, kudos to you for the patience. And I'm hoping you're enjoying as much as we enjoy playing the game. I'm sure it's not the same thing. And I wrote about this in The Australian this week around simulators and how it is starting to get to a point where it's transcending from virtual and into the real world. And what I mean by that is this, is that after a little while of playing Farm Simulator, and I guess it also in conjunction with watching Clarkson's Farm, I decided that we would go from having 450 square meters that we live on at the moment, and we'd be moving to a property that has 15 acres. And I guess we're doing a little bit of our own Farm Simulator in that way, in that, what the heck am I going to do with 15 acres? And will it involve animals at some point? Will it involve a little crop at some point? I have no idea. I'm a tech guy. I think I'm just going to fill it with robots. I really don't know. But I have to say that Farm Simulator did have something to do with it. And I think it was just the relaxing moments that I did have using the farm, working on the land, that I thought, this is a good lifestyle to have. And I'm hoping I can try and bring some of that relaxation and enjoyment into the real world when we do move next month. On top of that, Flight Simulator is another one that I have been playing. Flight Simulator, again, couldn't travel, missing seeing different parts of the world. Flight Simulator, the graphics are phenomenal. Nothing better than jumping in your own 787, taking off, flying over New York, looking at all the landmarks. And just obviously flying isn't something I normally do. I'm usually a passenger. Here I am being the pilot. But what an amazing experience. And also it was interesting then to read that pilots who were grounded were actually starting to play Flight Simulator quite a bit themselves because it gave them that feeling. They could actually turn off a lot of the assists so they would actually have that real feeling of flying again. And you can obviously get a lot of hardware accessories to this as well, like a proper yoke and controls to really give that realism back to a real pilot. And if they're saying that this is quite real, then hey, I felt like I was a real pilot too. Now, the reason I should say that I was talking about Farm Simulator is because I was playing Farm Simulator 19. The last couple of weeks, I've been playing Farm Simulator 22. It's the newest version. The graphics have taken a major step forward. There's a whole bunch of new elements to it. And what's interesting, though, is that most of the new elements in Farm Simulator 22 were mods in Farm Simulator 19. So these Farm Simulator type games, it appears, has mods that you can download, which are based on, I guess, the community, which make changes to the game where, you know, different types of crops, different machinery, different features in the game can be added on and bolted onto the game. And it looks like the guys behind Farm Simulator just went, hey, a lot of these are really good ideas, like growing your own vines to have your own grapes, having your own olive trees, hives, beehives, so you can make your own honey. And what's even more interesting, actually, guys, to get into the weeds a little bit, in Farm Simulator 2022, or just 22, you can have stores. So say, for example, you have a bakery. Well, you can have a bakery, but you need to start dropping off things there. So what do you need in a bakery? Well, you might need wheat because you need to make flour. So you better go harvest your wheat, then you can take it to the bakery and they can then turn it into flour. But you might want to make cakes, so it might need fruit. So maybe you should open up an orchard and start growing your own strawberries so you can take that to the bakery and sell it there too. Then they can actually start using strawberries in their cakes or to make jam or whatever it is. So it's interesting. You can literally now build in Farm Simulator a very vertical supply chain. So you can actually be doing all of your raw ingredients plus selling the cakes or the bread, or there's a pizza shops. So there's all bunch of things. So it's really, really amazing. They've taken this to a whole other level and I'm probably going to get lost in it again and again. It's one of those games that you can just relax with and just forget about the rest of the world for a minute. The other game that I have been playing is Forza Horizons, the new one. And that's kind of followed a similar path for me in that I can just jump in a car and drive all over what looks like Mexico. I can just drive anywhere I want, do whatever I like, but also participate in races if I so choose to. But honestly, I've just been driving a Ford Bronco all over the shop and just enjoying it, just enjoy driving and discovering new areas on the map. I don't care about even participating in the races, and I guess I'm not playing the game properly, but that's what I'm loving, is this lack of control, this lack of restriction, this lack of direction even, or missions or anything like that. It's just, you know what, jump into this world. It's not the world that you actually live in, and go and have a good time. I think that's where gaming is at for me right now. Let me know what games you have been playing, if there's a game that I should be checking out. I do prefer to play games on consoles because it means I'm getting the experience that it's been designed for, whereas on PC, you always have computer requirements. You got to have upgrade all your different hardware to make sure it suits the game, yada, yada, yada. Not my kind of thing. I like to just go on a console with a big screen TV, sitting down and relaxing for a bit, and then usually going to bed straight after that. But let me know what you think. Let me know what you think of anything we've discussed in the show. If you do have any questions, you know you can always reach out to me at any time. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, email, whatever it is, you'll find a way to reach me and I'll find a way to get back to you as well. So thank you for listening. Be kind to yourselves. Be kind to each other. I'll speak to you again next week. Bye-bye.